And I'm going to share a few of those things with you guys tonight, but it's all in the context of what the Lord is calling Ezekiel to do here. And for those who've been with me for a while on Sunday night, it's been about idolatry and harlotry. And he's tugging on my heart to keep going in this, but it just seems like it's the same in all that I've been talking about for 32 verses now. Has been idolatry, harlotry, and how God just keeps pointing out the things that, guys, can't you see the error of your ways? Can't you see that you become an idolatrous nation? Can't you see where harlotry is taking root in your life? Can't you see the things that you know you need to go let go of, but you're not? And I use the word ebb and flow because that's how it is. But as I dug in, not just for this lesson, but in the past, that's been the history of our nation. It's, we're up, we're down. And then when you read Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, same thing. And it's in other books as well, but I just point those out because it seems to be more prevalent. And he's saying, well, I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to destroy your nation if you don't repent. They don't repent. So when he does, this goes back in a few Ezekiel. It says, well, God, you're not fair. What do you mean God's not fair? And I'll tell you where I'm going with this is because when they talk about God's love, well, I'm going to say we. When we talk about God's love, as long as he's doing what we call blessing us, it's okay. But there comes a time when we're rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-headed, whatever you want to call it, and then he has to reprimand us. And now, that's not love by our definition. And what we need to learn, and I say it's mandatory, that God is sovereign. That means he loves you on the mountain, he loves you in the valley. His word says, I would never leave you nor forsake you. And it brought me to one question, for now anyway. Is God fair? And everybody sitting here today, tonight, is going to say, well, yeah. But do you really mean that from the very core of your heart? Do you really mean, do you sincerely believe that? And so my next question is, has God ever failed you? Has he ever failed you? Regardless of, there's young, there's older here, has he ever failed you? And I'm going to answer for you. The answer is no. He has not failed you yet. So if he hasn't failed you, why don't you trust him in everything? It's rhetorical. Why don't you trust him? If you had a friend, a neighbor, or a spouse that you can trust, who's never failed you, would you stop trusting them at any point, no matter what happens? They're with you. They're in it with you. So why do we look at God differently? Why do we say, if God was a God of love, he wouldn't have taken away that person that I love dearly. He wouldn't take away my child. He wouldn't cause my daughter to go and sell herself on the street. He wouldn't cause my son to get involved in drugs. A loving God would prevent those things from happening. Now, God has an advantage over us in a sense that he knows what's coming. And when things happen, we just say, oh, he took them at an early age. He took them out young. But you don't know, but God does know what was in the future. What was in store for that person within the next week or month or year? We don't know. So don't think that he just took them out just for something to do, just to keep them busy. He had a plan. He had a plan for every day that they were here. He has a plan for every day that you are here. Every day. And if you believe his word, all things work to the good for those who are in Christ Jesus and are called according to his purpose. Is he your God? Is he your Savior? That's what you got to ask yourself, because a lot of us are not looking. We're great with lip service. I mean, we can say wonderful things, but do you believe that? Do you really believe? Do you believe in the power of prayer? And we'll say yes. Anybody in this room is going to say yes. And there are others who will say that, but they don't. Prayer is a last result of something that you don't like. That's what you go to. I don't like this, so I'm going to pray about it. Even when we don't like the answer that God is giving us, you're going to pray about it. That's the last resort. Prayer should be done before, during, and after. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe that prayer changes things? This is another question you need to answer for yourself. If you can't say with your whole heart and with a pure heart that prayer changes things, then we need to talk. I don't have all the answers. No one that I know has all the answers. But we know that God has shown us the power of prayer. He's shown us a different perspective than the way we look at things. He's shown us that I am good, that I am love, no matter how we perceive it. He's shown us that. And I just want to encourage us, all of us here and those in Pixel Land, that he's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. And he will let you know with certainty what you need to change, what we need to repent about. Now, the other deal is, what do you do about it? Now, there's something that he allows. It's called free will. And for most of us, we're going to take the path of least resistance. I don't feel like I have to go to church. You don't. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fellowship. You don't have to do any of these things. That's where free will comes in. That's what gets us in trouble. Because we exercise our options, and they're not necessarily good options. There are days when we feel like we've been run over and over and over. And we say, the enemy is really working on me today. Do you know that it's the enemy? Or is it that area of sin that you're trapped in? And we do that a lot. I don't understand why God would allow this to happen to me. Have you done a self-examination? Have we looked to see what your life is composed of? To see what he has to say? And when we talk about this watchman on the wall, that's what the Lord has called. Not just me, but all the brothers that I get to fellowship with. And especially, I told you guys before, a great deal of my time is spent witnessing to prodigals. That's huge. Not just for me, but for others as well. And don't always see what I consider good results, but that hasn't deterred me. The Lord just says, okay, the song that was just playing a few minutes ago, about stand knowing you're going home. You're going to be with the Lord. And it's not in a boastful way. It took a lot for me to be able to make a statement like that. Months ago, I would have said, do whatever you want to do. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned about every single one of us. Not that I know anything that's bad in your life, but I know there's something better. And for you dessert people out there, you eat dinner when you know there's some, whatever your favorite dessert is, waiting for you. Oh, things just got better now. That's the way it is with the Lord. He's going to give you a good life here if you allow. And then he's going to just bless you well beyond anything that you can imagine. And bearing in mind, there's some things that we can't do anything about. I've shared this with you before, and I think it's worth sharing again, that there are people that I know, and they pray with a preconceived notion of how God is going to answer. And when God doesn't answer in that particular manner, they say, well, he didn't answer my prayer. I told him I wanted to be a millionaire. But he has the advantage of looking forward and saying, you know what? If I gave her $1 million, she would have a room full of shoes. If I gave him $1 million, he would have 2 Corvettes in the garage. And again, that's a sexist statement because there are guys who like shoes and women who like Corvettes. But I'm just giving 2 examples of some of the things that we would do. And even worse than that, if you've got an idol in your life, regardless of what it is, who it is, why it is, if he gives you the means that you're praying for, you would destroy yourself. Now, he has the advantage of knowing that. He has the advantage of knowing that when you do that now, you're going to take your focus off of him. You're going to take your focus off our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you're going to put it on stuff and things. That's not what he wants. So when he says no or wait, not now, those are answers. We don't want to look at it like that, but that's it. Now, the thing that I want to get to is because it happens here, and it's interesting enough that it was a line in the song. I grew up in a home where some of you have heard this before, but forgive me, but I just need to repeat it. I grew up in a home where my father encouraged us to not use the word love. No, if you say you love someone, then you make yourself vulnerable. Now you're a softy. Now you're a marshmallow. And people would take advantage of you if you confess that you love them. So I had 5 sisters, and he would not allow me to say I love you to my sisters. And that affected me for a lot of years, and I just spoke about it probably within the last month because that's something I've been carrying around with me. And the only thing that, well, not the only thing, but the one thing that brought me out of it was being a part of the Saturday morning men's group and looking at men cry and being okay with that. I actually got to the point, I encouraged it because I said, see, the pain or joy flowing out. So it's okay. And plus, on the leadership team, we got a couple water bags, you know, and those guys will cry if the sun doesn't shine. But that was one of the things that I struggled with for a long, long time, and I would not talk about it because I really believed Dad said so, so that makes it official. You don't cry, so I would hold it in. And I had mentioned to you guys maybe a month ago or so, a few weeks ago, where when you hold in things like that, that psychological, that it lends itself to physical issues. So something happens to you physically as a result of holding these things in. You're concerned about that son or that daughter. And if you hold that in, the body's going to physically try and comprehend that, and it cannot. And if you don't let it go, if you don't give that to the Lord, then you're going to end up with some physical ailments. And I can attest to that one as well. So there are many things that Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and those guys went through because of their calling. And I would tell you, you've heard me say this before, if you say you want to be on the front line, you better make sure you want to be on the front line. Because you're going to see, no matter who you are, no matter what you're about, how you're made, there's going to be something that's going to destroy you because of what you get to see. And there are people in this room who can attest to that. And maybe not to the extent that others have seen, but it takes its toll on you. But we keep going because it's our calling. It's what the Lord has called us to do. And I certainly can't compare us to the watchmen that were called earlier during this time. But it was, first of all, let me go back and read a couple of verses so we can just keep going. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from this territory and make him their watchman, somebody, the watchman on the wall, looking out for the people. And that's what we're called to do. We're to look out for all of you, all of us. When he sees a sword, verse 3, when he sees a sword coming upon the land, if he blows a trumpet and warns the people. And that's what we do. And in this case, we're not talking about a physical trumpet. Let you know that if we're going down the wrong path, there's a way to get back on track. Read the word of God. Be prayerful. Take advantage of any opportunity for fellowship that you get. And these may sound, well, Richard, that works for you, but that's not how I roll. But the point is, these things, there's no downside. There's no downside to reading the word. There's no downside for praying. If you're praying with a pure heart, there's no downside to fellowship, which if there is, there's something that you can do about that. Because everybody's not about fellowship. There are people who come to, and we talk about our enemy, to kill, steal, and destroy. But there are humankind who have some of those attributes as well. So when it comes to fellowship, be careful. Be careful. If the Lord is stirring your spirit and says, you don't belong here, then hit the bricks. Because he knows what he's talking about. Another thing that I struggled with for many, many years is, in addition to our dad telling us, you know, don't use the word love, our mom, and not that they were bad people, our mom telling us to never boast. I don't care how well things are going, you know, just be humble. Don't tell people about all these great things that the Lord is doing in your life. I find, and I tried to do that, but I find it very difficult now. Because the people that I get to witness to, the people I get to minister to, they need positive reinforcement. Plain and simple. And there are others that I've talked to, almost everybody in this room, about the things. And it's not from a boastful standpoint. It's just that the Lord has blessed me early in life. And my latter days are even better. You know, in ways that some of you can't relate to yet, but you know, our family structure is just like awesome. Really, really awesome. And for those of us who have grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. Grandkids are nice. That makes it better. But again, then verse 4, whoever hears the word of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Well, brother, you should have, nobody ever told me about Jesus. Nobody ever encouraged me to read the Bible. So how would I know about him? The word of God says his word is written on your heart. So there's no one who can claim that they don't know. Well, I didn't know that he was good. And then God forbid they would try and convince me that they're an atheist. You know, and we're done here. Done, and because you're telling me that you don't believe it, you choose not to believe it. So that's what this is talking about. His blood shall be on his own head. You're responsible for you. And when we make excuses for not doing that, well, I was never brought up in a home where they talked about the Bible. They never talked about Jesus. You were aware. You just chose not to worship him. You chose not to serve him. So that's all on you. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. And that's the attitude that we want, as true Christians, as Christians with a pure heart, a true Christian that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we want. So that's what we want to encourage you to. And that warning will save his life. And that's what we're referring to now. I'm going to encourage you in the word, but it's got to come from within. It's got to come from you. You know, I can say all I want. I can tell you about all the great things that Jesus has done in my life. Yeah, well, that's been you. There's one other statement that I want to make. It's something that sticks with me. We were talking about the power of prayer. And this one lady said, well, I don't believe in that nonsense. All prayer is positive thinking. And again, that was another one of those times when I had to, you know, okay, we're done. because that was the attitude of her heart in this case. That's all prayer is. There's nothing to it. You're just thinking positively, so that's why things happen. So what happens when you're praying about somebody who's sick? What about when you're praying for someone who just doesn't seem to be recovering from where they are? So you think if I pray the right words, if I'm positive enough, that'll bring them around. And I've been there. I've heard this. You know, I've shared it before. I had some regrets initially, but I got over it. The nephew was in a motorcycle accident, so he's brain dead. So they said it wouldn't be long, so she went to someone that she respected, and he said the son would be healed. And she came back and she said, well, he wasn't healed, he died. Okay, now if he went to be with the Lord, that's about as healing as you can get. But she didn't want to believe that. She wanted to believe that because someone prayed for him, he was going to be up doing the things that he did, you know, last week or whenever. And she would not hear anything else. And these are the kind of things that you will get to hear. And it's just our reasonable service to hear them out, to encourage them as much as we can, but knowing that it has to come from within. We can't change anyone. We can encourage, we can lift up, but God gets the increase. Again, these are just some of the things, and I'm not saying don't have a desire to be on the front line. I would never say that. If the Lord is calling you, then by all means, go. Simple as that, the fact that disobedience is better than sacrifice. So if you're dishonoring him, he's going to dishonor you, and you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it because you're going to see him as being the old mean, angry God because things are not falling in place the way that you perceive they would. But yet and still not looking, self-examining, realize that, oh, I think the problem may be with me. Well, there's a chance that might be the case. Pray without ceasing. But, verse 6, but if the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the horn, that blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. We have a reasonable responsibility. And it's not just the men and women in the church with a badge. It's you, all of you. You have a responsibility. Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a deaconess. I'm not an elder. I'm none of these things. So that's not my responsibility. Yes, it is. He doesn't look down and see the fact that we've got a badge. He doesn't look down and see the fact that we've got a title. He looks down and see that you're claiming to be a child of God. These things should be supernatural. You see a sister or a brother hurting, the desire of your heart would be to go in and help them, pray for them, pray with them, encourage them, read the word with them, feed them scripture, whatever you can do. But too often, we just stray away from that stuff. We don't want the responsibility. Well, I don't want to be responsible for anyone else's life, don't you? If it were someone that you loved, you were driving ahead of them and you got there and you saw that the bridge was out, would you warn them? And I like to think that everybody in this room would say, of course I would. So that's what he's calling us to do, warn them. Let them know that there's danger ahead. There's danger in not giving your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do in us. So if they hear it, but do not take warning, the blood is on their hands. But if you don't witness to them, encourage them, pray for them, pray with them, then the blood is on your hand. Verse 7, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. The word of God, stronger than any two-edged sword. So when you get the chance to do that, take full advantage of it. And we often do not. Well, I'm too busy for that. Is that the truth? What does busy mean? My oldest sister, when she used to hear that word, she would always say being under Satan's yoke, because we can make ourselves unavailable. And some of the brothers, sisters have heard me say, what does it take to serve the Lord? You're in a battle. You're in a war. That war, W-A-R, willing, available, and ready. Are you willing, available, and ready to go to battle for the sake of the kingdom? If not, we need to have a change of heart. You know, when he says, who shall I send and who will go for us? I will, Lord. I will. And it doesn't, none of that stuff that we have matters. Well, I got to stay here and take care of my kids. I got to stay here because I got a job. It doesn't mean that you got to forsake any of this. He's given all of us, everybody in this room, everybody there, he's given you 24 hours. So it doesn't come down to you being too busy. It comes down to what's priority. That's really what it is. We all get the same amount of hours per day. So what's important in your life? Well, I really don't have time. When I get up in the morning, I got stuff to do. So I don't really have time for my devotionals. That should not be so, my friends. What's important to you? I know what should be, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty. There are days when, you know, there's stuff that I think that needs to be attended to, and I'm not going to use that time digging into the Word. That's not right. That should be the desire of my heart, is to dig in, dig in, dig in. And I try. I do try. And he knows my heart, so he knows that I love the Word of God. That wasn't always the case. There were times when I would, you know, fend it off. But then again, I got to know the true and living God for myself. And just like Joel said, I've heard about you, but now that I met you face to face, it's a whole nother deal. And that's the way it is, my friends. So if you don't know, if you don't have a personal relation with the true and living God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. Again, I ask you, what's the downside? What's the downside to having a relationship with you that's worth having? Well, if I give my life to Christ, I can't hang out with my friends. Well, you got friends like Job. If I want to hang out with Lord, then I can't go and hang out at the local gin mill like I used to. For us who've gotten beyond that, we know that the local gin mill wasn't all that great. It's a lot of waste there. Energy, money, heartstrings get cut or broken from time to time. And you have to ask yourself, was it really worth it? And I'm one of those. You know, I hung out in different places, but when I look back on them and think that these are my friends, my family, and I just talked about that tonight with our granddaughters. You know, these people that they think are friends, and then when they're not giving anymore, all of a sudden they're gone. Were those really friends or acquaintances or takers? So we never grow out of that. And I'm just going to make a general statement and say that's all of us. Because there's something that everybody in this room is hanging on to right now that's not in their best interest. Everybody. Well, not me, brother. I got it all together. Yeah, okay. But what is it that you're hanging on to that the Lord is saying, let it go? And don't think that you're the leadership, the pastors, the elders, the deacons, that they're immune. We're not. We're not immune to that. And I say this because there's some people who think that, you know, we got this permanent ring of fire, or this permanent shield around us, and we have the Lord in our lives, but we're also fleshly beings. Keep that in mind. He hasn't elevated us to above being fleshly beings. And the thing that I say, and some of you have heard it, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the one I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. And again, I have to be careful because some people do get disillusioned when I tell them that we go through trials. They don't want to believe that. And they're sincere. No, come on. Now, you guys are protected. Protected from... and you guys just say, well, that's not true, but you know better than that. And I pray that all of you do too. Because there are things that are just there, man. They just keep on haunting us. But let go and let God. Sounds easy. It's not. There's certain packages that I want to hold on to. There's certain characteristics that I want to hold on to. Even for self-defense methods. I just want to hold on to this. This is my security blanket. This is what I go to when things are not going well. Let that something, let that person be Jesus. That's the encouragement. Verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I require at your hands. We, Christians, have a responsibility. Again, we can't save anybody, but we can be there for them. Keep praying for them, keep encouraging them, and God will get the increase. But he left us here for a reason. I must go away, but I will leave you a paraclete. I will leave you someone that will be beside you to encourage you, to get you where I want you to go, to be what I want you to be. And sometimes we struggle with that. We struggle with the fact that there's a calling on each and every one of our lives. What does he want from you? That's what you need to ask yourself. Don't be concerned. Don't look around to see who has what, who lives where, who drives what. What does he call you to? And he doesn't want everyone to have the house on the hill, the fancy car, Harley Davidson, or whatever else there is in your life, clothes, shoes, whatever, food, drink. What's he calling you to? And to say that you shall surely die, this is the Lord. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Do you want someone that you love to have to suffer the wrath? No, you don't. Nevertheless, verse 9, nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You've gone in and do what the Lord asked you to do, and now leave it up to him. Lord, I know this person who's struggling. What do you want from me? I want you to water them. I want you to water that person. But Lord, I want to stand there and watch it grow. I want to know that what I did was not in vain. That's not what he's calling you to. Water and move on. Plant and move on. Fertilizer and move on. And you have to know that you know that you know that's what he's calling you to. And if you don't know, you might want to inquire, because now you're trying to do more than the Lord called you to do. And there is a downside to that. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be very, very discouraged because things are not working out the way you want them to. And we're not very good at that. We're not accepting anything less than what we think it should be. The Lord's got it. Verse 10, therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Again, don't just think of this in terms of Israel. Think of this is personally. This is you. Turn from your wicked ways. But brother, you make it sound like it's really easy. No, no, I would never say that. Never say that it's easy. It's not easy. Nobody ever told me personally that being a Christian would be a bed of roses. And I'm glad they didn't. Because I might have believed them, but I'm far from believing that today. There's a lot. There's a lot, my friends. And I just want to see everybody that I know, everybody that I get to talk to, I just want to see them make a commitment to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the desire of my heart. Am I disappointed from time to time? Absolutely. But that's okay. That's okay because he's taught me to stand when there's all I can do. Continue to stand. And don't put that trust in yourself thinking that you're gonna share a couple of scriptures with this person and they're going to change their lives. Because if you do, if you want to continue to believe that, you're going to be sorely disappointed. So what's he calling you to? That's what you're all about. Make sure that you know his calling for you. And it's not always a sure thing. You don't know. I got to admit on this, he doesn't want to use us in our strength. Well, I was a good whatever. So that's how he's going to use me. On the contrary, because if he did that, if he used you in your strength and you were what the world calls successful, who gets the credit? You do. I'm such a strong person. I got this strong personality that allows me to do this. And I did all these great things for the Lord. He said, no, that's not what I want. I want to use you in your weakness. So that when we get worldly success, how'd you pull that off? Well, it really wasn't me. It was the Lord. It was a Jesus, the Lord that I believe in. That's what he wants. He wants to use us in our weakness. And based on what I shared with you guys earlier, there were some things that were preventing me from being all I could be. Like, you know, just don't boast. Don't cry. You can't do any of those things. And to you, that may seem minuscule, but it's huge. It's huge. Imagine someone were telling you, you know, don't get angry. And if the Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, well, I can get angry because I got a good example of somebody that I love who got angry. Although it says, be angry but sin not, it's okay. But when the humankind try and discourage you from being yourself, it can be very discouraging. I would never let that happen to me, but sometimes it can be subtle. Sometimes it can be something that you don't see until it's done. Oh, I didn't see that. It's called deceit. I didn't see that one. And all of a sudden now you find out that you're living differently by somebody else's rules. This book, this Bible, that iPad that you have in your lap, this gives you everything that you need to know. And everybody, every person that's in there, somebody represents what you're going through. Somebody. Could be David. Could be Esther. Could be any of them. Could be Samson. Could be Ruth. Any of them. So he's already given you an example. But Lord, how do I get out of this? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in and read this book that focuses on this person and tell me how they were able to get past that. It's there. I know. No matter what. Well, my situation is a little unique. Okay. Fearfully and wonderfully made, yes. But we are people of like passion as well. So don't think that you're the only one. You're not the only one that's going through anything, ever. And sometimes we do that, and I get to see that a lot in the men's ministry because they think they're the only one that has to go through these things at work, at play, at church. And then there's certain things that I have to turn a deaf ear to, like, I don't feel like anybody loves me. Wait a minute. Have you read the Bible at all? Really? Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Or Jesus knows me. This I love. Have you read any of this? I would never leave you nor forsake you. What do you think that means? But some people are that way. I don't feel loved. Well, are you expressing love? Well, I don't think I should have to. Then what makes you think you have to be loved? It's real, friends. I'm not making any of this up. This is the stuff that we get to hear. Verse 12. Therefore, you, O son of man, I read this already, but I'm going to do it again for a reason. Say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of the righteousness in the day that he sins. Jesus honored those who honor him. So when you're not living righteously, things tend to go awry more often than not. And so even though those things that you think that, well, I don't see how the wicked prosper. I don't understand why God would allow that. And so now you're judging. How do you know that that wicked person is sleeping at night? How do you know that that wicked person is not prospering in the way that we see? Just because a person has all the trappings of the world does not lend itself to God's blessing. And I was one of those. Not something I like to talk about, but, you know, I got into corporate really early in my life. And the corporation that I was in was fat, and they threw money at you. And I bought the readings that were coming out about, you know, how great this is. I learned a new meaning of the word success, because that's how I attributed success, about having all the stuff and things, and realizing that I spent 7 years of my life trying to fill that void with stuff and things. It's not going to happen, friends. It just doesn't. It's just really a shame, because I get to see people today that fill their lives with that, and yet they're empty. They try and fill their life with these things, and we all got voids that we're trying to fill. That's why we have idols. That's why we do things that don't honor God. That's why we do things that pacify the flesh. Idols. God's not into that. Verse 13, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts his own righteousness and commits iniquity. And again, 14, again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right. Have you considered turning from your sin and doing what is lawful and right? And there are terms that we may not understand in this context. What does it mean to turn from your sins? And you say, well, that's a pretty obvious answer to that one, but not for everybody. And the one thing that the Lord has taught me, again, through the men's ministry, is don't assume anything. We get up there and we start talking Christianese and think that everybody knows what we're saying. And I found out that not to be the case. Well, this guy goes to church, so he must understand the word of God. No, he does not. He does not. We mentioned things like salvation. What is that? Houston, we have a problem. Right away, you know that. Are you born again? What does that mean? Okay, we need to take a couple steps back. And there are guys who come in and they don't understand the basis. So the Lord has taught us to Don't assume anything, to go back and dig in. Verse 15, if the wicked restores a pledge, give back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So that means you got to get right with God. That's all it means. Get right with God, because when you do these things, when you restore the pledge, give back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Now keep in mind, we're not talking this flesh turning back to dust. We're talking about eternally. That's important that we understand that. This is eternal. Well, we're all going to die, right? Yeah, 100% guaranteed. You are. Don't be discouraged by that. But we think in terms of eternal life. And when I get to stand here and talk to you, I would like for you to think in those terms. Yeah. Where are you going to spend eternity? Two options. There's no purgatory, just for those who might have heard this at some point. Heaven or hell. And whether you're going to believe those are real places, I can just encourage you to read the Word. Just read the Word and see what that is. You hear terms like Dante's Inferno. You hear terms like Sheol. You hear terms like Lake of Fire. Get an understanding of what those really mean. And when we talk about going home to be with the Lord, even that won't fill your imagination, because it's not something that we can ever imagine. Streets made of gold? What does that look like? Can't imagine. And that's why the song, I Can Only Imagine, is what it refers to. And you'll notice that as you're reading, it says like this and like that, because we as humankind have to have a frame of reference. Otherwise, I have no idea what you're talking about. So when it gives you a frame of reference, then you have more of an understanding of what he's trying to get to us. And this is verse 20. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. God is not fair. Why would you say that? Well, he didn't give me what I want. Well, he is fair because he didn't give you what you wanted. He didn't give you that thing that you thought would pacify your flesh. And so this has been said several times in the book of Ezekiel. God is not fair. The way of the Lord is not fair. But it is their way which is not fair. It's our way that is not fair. We have expectations of him to give us what we want regardless. I just want you to bless me. I don't want to hear about this chastening stuff. That's what we're saying, but it's all part of it. And the word that I constantly use is the word sovereign. It means that good or bad, by our determination, that's our God's love in that situation. He loves us. He loves us dearly. 21, and it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month of the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. And that's what he will do. While we're saying that he's not fair, he's letting us know where we're failing by our definition of failure. His definition of failure is totally different than ours. With us, failure means falling down. To him, failure means falling down and refuse to get up again. Totally different. He wants to encourage us. He wants to. Again, and it came to, now, verse 22, now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the man came to who had escaped, and he had opened my mouth so that he came to me in the morning. My mouth was open and it was no longer mute. Speak up. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, ever. be able to speak it, encourage it, live it more than anything else, the way God intended. Don't allow anyone to cause you to fear rejection or repercussion as a result of speaking the word. And that's a tough one, and I know that. I know that. It's one thing to say, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and another thing to actually live it. Are you willing to witness in the mall? Are you willing to go on the street and witness to people? If not, why not? Well, that takes a certain kind of person. Has the Lord called you to do that? Then he determined that you are that kind of person. Don't be afraid, my friends. We are allowing fear to dominate our lives to a great degree. And that's an awful tragedy. It's tragic. 23, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Now, keep in mind, he's talking about Israel, but we have to look beyond that. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the things that he's making reference to, he didn't just leave them back there and just, okay, let's move on. This will be a different generation. And it is, but these same things apply. Do you care about the good old US of A? I mean, not the greatest, but there's tremendous potential. Is it a Christian nation? No. I'm going to be bold enough to say a definite no to that. But can it be? And my Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Does your Bible say that? And do you believe it? All things are possible. 25, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood, you lift up your eyes towards your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? And he's not asking for a yes or no on that. If you're doing these things, you're not honoring him by Jewish custom. 26, you rely on your sword, you commit abomination, and you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? Here's that question again. Should you then possess the land with those things? 27, say thus to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the ruins shall fall by the sword, and the one who is in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds and caves shall die of the pestilence. He's making it very clear, but he's done this, as I said earlier, throughout this whole book. He's warning them, and that's what he put the watchman on the wall for, to warn them. Now, whether you heed his warning, that's up to you. But he's going to make sure that you know, that you're going to have to say, well, I never knew you. You did all these wonderful things, but I don't recall you making a commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't ever remember you doing that. But look at all I've done. I've given the hungry food. I've given the thirsty water. Matthew 25, 35. I've done all these wonderful things. Isn't that enough? So you were a good person. And there's a religious system that base everything on that. The fact that you are a good person. What is good? But I come back and I see in the word that it says, there is none good, no, not one. Wait a minute, I'm confused. Because this religious system says you're good people. But the word of God says there's none good. Now I'm scratching my head trying to figure out which one of these sounds better to me. And to say you're a good person doesn't make you a good person. For I will make the land more desolate, her arrogant strength shall cease, and mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. Her arrogant strength. Remember, he's not looking to use us at our strength. He's looking to use us at our weakness. That's important to keep in mind. Then they shall know that I am the Lord when I have made the land more desolate because of abominations which they have committed. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the wall and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another. Everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Please. It's a matter of life and death, literally. Please come and hear the word, what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. Hearers of the word, but doers. That's what he doers also. That's what he calls us to do. And these that he's speaking of don't do that. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. I don't think that requires any expanding. We talk about love. We use the word. But what does your heart say? Is it all about you? Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song, as one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on the instrument. For they hear their words, but they do not do them. Lord, you've already said that. Why do you have to say it more than once? Well, there's a reason for that. I made you. I know that sometimes you have to hear it two or three times just to hear it, period. And now I'm asking you to do this. So I got to repeat it. And he does that. The Lord does that in all over the Bible, actually. Verse 33. And when it comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. And again, it doesn't have to be prophet in the sense of the word. It could be a watchman on the wall. It can be just a vessel that he's using to speak to us. And when we're up here doing that, we don't point the finger at anybody, because we're well aware that this is for us. This is for me. This is for you. So I pray that there was something that was said tonight that encouraged you. And I pray that there was nothing that did not. One more line and then we'll go out in the rain. So what does the Lord want from me, Richard? Our mission is to spread the word of God as far and as wide as possible. Just be careful that it is indeed God's word. There are a lot of people out there who want to discourage you. There are a lot of people who want to keep you from proclaiming the word of God. There are a lot of people who can speak his word, but they're an inch deep and a mile wide. Not very effective, because it gets a little thin as you go out there. So you got to know that you know that you know that he's calling you. You may not be ready. Get to know him. Get to know him. Get to know his word. Get to know the power of prayer. Get to encourage fellowship. Doesn't have to be a big crowd. His word says two or more touching and agreeing. That's all that's required. You don't have to be a mega church. You don't have to have your living room full of folks every week or whatever. Witness to those who are in your life right now. Not so easy sometimes, because there's some people we have trouble praying for. There are some people we have trouble praying with. But the Lord wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to be good stewards of everything. Learn the word. Teach the word, if he allows. whatever he called you to, be, don't talk about it, be about it. Lord, I'm just so thankful that you've given me an opportunity to share with my sisters and brothers, and I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here tonight who does not yet know you as a Lord and Savior, I pray tonight will be that night of salvation, Father. So we give you thanks for what you've done already. And we see you doing great things even here tonight, Father. And we know in the future you got even more in store for us. So I'm so thankful, Father, that you've put me in a place like this. And I pray that I can be worthy of the calling. So we give you praise and honor, Father. So thank you for my sisters and brothers coming out tonight, Father. And I just pray that you would just continue to bless them well beyond what they can think and imagine. So we give you praise and honor, Father. In the name of Jesus, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out.